Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. The Reverend Dr. Stephen Hokana is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The reading appointed for today is recorded in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of Proverbs, that which I just read, is a wonderment of poetry, deep, rich theology, with images that stir our imagination and awaken a deep sense that it is our gracious and loving God who comes to us by His Son, Jesus, and saves us. At the same time, there's practical advice in the book of Proverbs, but there's also some that appears here especially. It appears to be dropped in the text without notice. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. He who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. At first we're hearing about wisdom, and then we're hearing about the love of wisdom, how wisdom reaches out to those who are looking for what the Apostle Paul would call in 1 Corinthians a more excellent way. It is because of the unity of Proverbs 9 and the challenges we face in our current age to select what I would call the anchor verse of Proverbs 9. And in verse 10 we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Now, as I am becoming more seasoned, I find myself spending time in wisdom literature. But in this case, I've been a friend of Proverbs for many years. As a high schooler, especially during the summers when not in school, my parents encouraged me to memorize specifically passages of Proverbs. Also, I'm delighted that the congregation that I attend is exploring Proverbs in their Sunday adult Bible study. The pastor's approach is not a class studying the Proverbs of Solomon. Rather, through the Holy Spirit, the Proverbs are studying us. We're called to explore who we are as individuals. We are to look again in lyrical poetry how we became a child of God in Christ, and that we are to do with our salvation as proclaimers of God's truth in a world so sickened and damaged by sin. Many of you know, for example, the witticisms of Proverbs. Proverbs 15:1, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." How about Proverbs 3:5? "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." Of course, Proverbs 31. When asked to introduce my wife, Mary, I often refer to her as my Proverbs 31 wife. This text, Proverbs 9, does not have those short and concise witticisms. Nonetheless, there are a number of exciting components of Proverbs this morning. They relate to our lives and give us a sense of hope in the taking away of guilt and restoring us as God's people, loved and adored by the Lord Jesus. The first is that of Lady Wisdom, verses 1 through 3. The second, verses 4 through 6, is a banquet with its sublime undercurrent of the work of the Holy Spirit and the church. Third, verses 7 through 9, there's a responsibility we hold as stewards of God's word in using wisdom. Be careful with wisdom. Use wisdom when applying wisdom. All of this points to the activity of Christ on the cross and the gift of the Holy Spirit to His church. Wisdom articulates a magnificent invitation. Wisdom. She speaks to all of us this morning. We are called by the Holy Spirit to hear. Yes, wisdom is personified by a lady. A well-organized, industrious, talented lady. If you look at this text factually, breaking down each of the listed characteristics, Lady Wisdom is an architect, a builder, a chef-level preparer of the finest cuisine. There seems to be a sense of great wealth about the lady. She has servants. She sends them out with a grand invitation. Lady Wisdom is a hostess extraordinaire. Lady Wisdom is focused and very intentional. The invitation is not for one to attend an elaborate cocktail party or even a sumptuous banquet, but a formal high-end feast that appears to have no end. Now, do not get me wrong, but I'm not sure if invited to an event like that I would want to attend. And please allow me to explain. Although not often in my time in the military, I've been required to attend formal gatherings. As a result, I participated in high-end banquets, excluding the traditional military balls. One was in London, hosted by an embassy. One was in Denmark, held by a Danish general. And the other was in Malibu, California. There is a lot of preparation required just to attend an event. I mean, just getting dressed. Most high-end invitations, only events the host or hostess has an intent and purpose of the event, and you know that ahead of time. So this is not a place to be real or transparent when you go to such an event. There is a very strict code of conduct when you go to these. You have to speak a particular language. You engage with everyone in attendance. You must be aware of yourself and your surroundings. There's more going on than a wealthy person hosting an event at their primary residence. Anyone can have a gathering with a bunch of folks over and watch a game, just relax for time and laugh and enjoy the evening. But this is very different. My hesitance reveals something deep in Proverbs 9, the unwillingness to attend an important event. It occurs with us, and it's also attending a life-saving event. It's our old Adam. To be invited to attend an event is Holy Spirit activity rooted and created in faith. On our own, we are unable and unwilling to go. A clearer understanding of wisdom is rooted in her invitation list. The meal is now set aside. We're not interested in what she's going to serve. We're on to the next part of Proverbs 9. We explore the invitation list. It's not exactly a who's who of the world's movers and shakers. The simple, those that are hungry, those that see the path they walk dangerous and lead to nowhere. Really, those who are invited are vagrants, bums, and beggars. On the bedside table next to where Luther's body lay, they found a piece of paper. He must have written it the day before when he was still feeling relatively well. Just a couple of thoughts. He had jotted them down. And this is what the note said. Number one, no one can understand Virgil's shepherd poems unless he has been a shepherd for 5 years. No one can understand Virgil's poems about farming unless he's been a farmer for 5 years. No one can understand Cicero's letters, or so I teach, unless he had busied himself in the affairs of some prominent state for 20 years. Know that no one can have indulged in the holy writer sufficiently unless he has governed churches for 100 years with a prophet such as Elijah and Elisha, John the Baptist, Christ, and the apostles. Do not assail the divine Aeneid. No, rather bowing down, revere the ground that it treads. And this is how Luther concluded. We are beggars. This is true. If Luther, with all his brilliance, assesses various careers, including that of theologian, as beggar status, then indeed, we are all beggars. In addition, we do not have the ability to accept the invitation of Lady Wisdom on our own. Our fallen humanity has so darkened and clouded us. But the invitation still stands. The invitation is for all of us, children of a fallen humanity, desperate and in need of help, hope, and salvation. Wisdom is the Holy Spirit. In addition, we can see wisdom as the Holy Spirit. We see the church where Christ is its head, with the Holy Spirit breathing life into it. So here is the invitation that's given to you, to me, and to the whole world. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat my food and drink of the wine I've mixed. Abandon your foolishness and live, and proceed in the way of understanding. The acceptance of God to take us from where we are, corrupt and broken and naive and lacking in understanding and just plain foolish. We're changed through the transformation event of Christ on the cross. Lady Wisdom is showing us both the Holy Spirit and the Christian church. In the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed, we have a clear understanding of Lady Wisdom, where we confess, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian faith on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. So now we come to the last verse of Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. 15 times Solomon cites fear of the Lord in Proverbs. Our deeply held awe and respect for God and His Son, our Savior Jesus, cuts through the noise and distractions of life. The fear of the Lord helps center and stabilize us and keeps us on the compass of living a sanctified life. The fear of the Lord and knowledge of the Holy One points to Holy Scripture, which points to Lady Wisdom, which points to Christ, who is our salvation. So as you look at your busy, frenetic life, take time to park in Proverbs. Explore and see the depth and richness of Solomon's words inspired by the Holy Spirit. You'll find connections, associations that point to Christ and the Christian life. In these words, you will find joy. And this is what Luther says about joy, and it relates to Proverbs 9. There is no solid joy in the world except the joy which the Word of God affords one who believes it. And we ask this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Kenneth Bomberger, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.